Turn your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, I'd like to read verses 1 through 5 for you. You can follow with me in your Bibles, if you would, please. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you this morning as we have gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus. We've come here on purpose. And we've come here, Heavenly Father, to hear from you and to allow you to speak to our hearts by your Spirit through your word. We've come and presented ourselves, Father, that you might challenge us today, that you might change us. Father, if we need to be convicted, I pray you'd convict us. If we need to be comforted, I pray you'd comfort us. But Father, I do pray you'd confront us. I pray, my Father, you might speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit, and that you'd open the lips of your servant to speak. And I pray, my Father, that every heart would be receptive to your word. Everyone would receive with meekness the engrafted word. I pray you bless those who are watching and listening, that they also might have a blessing. And Father, that you might glorify yourself and magnify your Son, that you might edify your people and save the lost. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul the Apostle mentions grace in verses 1 and 3. And he mentions three things about it. Number one, he says we have access into this grace. That would be speaking of our salvation. He says we stand in this grace. That would be our sanctification. And he says we rejoice in this grace. That would be our solace, or our joy and our hope and our glory. And then he says something interesting. He says in verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." That word glory really has a synonym, boast. What he's saying is we can glory and we can boast in tribulation because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, this grace is a many-faceted thing. It is a supernatural thing, and it is a powerful thing. The word grace, if you look at its theological definition, is this: the spontaneous, unmerited gift of the divine favor in the salvation of sinners and the divine influence operating in individuals for their regeneration and sanctification. It means undeserved favor, an act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. God's favor toward the unworthy and God's benevolence toward the undeserving. If you would look in the dictionary, Webster's dictionary, for a definition of grace, it is this: unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. Grace, then, is God giving to mankind and doing for man that which is totally undeserved and apart from any obligation or debt on God's part, which benefits and enriches mankind. I want to share with you several aspects of God's grace this morning. Our first one is found in the book of Ephesians, if you'd turn there with me, Ephesians chapter 2, and it is grace to save. Grace to save. Ephesians chapter 2, and look with me at verse 4. Ephesians 2:4 says this: "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace. It is the undeserved favor of God to save those who trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Savior. The grace of God is undeserved favor. I want you to hear the key word, undeserved. What does man deserve then? Well, eternal existence in the lake of fire, a place prepared for the devil and his angels. It was prepared for their eternal existence because of their rebellion against God. And when mankind also voluntarily followed the devil and his rebellion by believing the devil instead of God and disobeying God, he too must suffer the consequence of his sin in the lake of fire, the eternal abode of rebellious creatures. Of mankind it is written, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Isaiah 64:6, the Bible says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. And Revelation chapter 20 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What does man deserve? He deserves to die because of his sin. But then there's a second death which he deserves, and that is eternal separation from the glory and the love and the presence of God in a place prepared for rebellious creatures, which is called the lake of fire. But here is the grace of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, go to that place, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen now, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the grace of God. God said, this is what you deserve, but this is what I'll give you. This is where you deserve to go, but this is what I'll provide for you. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, pay attention, hath appeared to all men. And so the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Now listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of us his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now listen, but is now made manifest, here it comes, by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Did you catch it? The Bible says that the grace of the gospel has appeared to all men. And then the Bible says that that appearing was in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the appearing, the manifestation, the visibleness of the grace of God. God didn't just say, I'll have grace. He said, I'm coming as grace. Grace isn't just a word, it is a person of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. You know what that means? That means he was made a man. He was made a little lower than the angel. Why? For the suffering of death. But we see him crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he," that's God the Father, "hath made him," that's God the Son, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 1 Peter 2:24, speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, speaking of the Lord Jesus, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And then Romans, of course, 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Salvation is a gift of God's amazing grace. There's not an individual that has ever walked the face of the earth beside the Lord Jesus who deserves to be in heaven. It's only by God's grace. You see, God's grace is God's undeserved favor to save an undeserving sinner. That's why Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace, undeserved favor, are you saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, salvation is not of works. Salvation is not of the law. Romans 3:20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." So God says to us, he says, there's no way you can work your way to heaven. The only way you're going to get there is by my grace, because I provided a Savior. He said, you're not going to get there by the law. You can't keep the rules. You can't do all the things. You can't, you know, meet the bar. And it's not of religion. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." Romans 11, 6, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace." Did you hear what he said? We are saved by the undeserved favor of God. We're saved by grace. Once you try to add works to it, it no longer is grace. Once you add the law, keeping of the law to it, it's no more grace. It's either grace or it's works. And the Bible says not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, Paul said, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Listen to me, my friend. If you could work your way to heaven, Christ died for nothing. If you could keep religious rituals and get to heaven, then Christ died for nothing. If you could pay your way to heaven, then Christ died for nothing. But Christ came and died and shed his blood and was buried and rose again because there was nothing else that could save us. We were lost and without hope and without remedy. And so God stepped in and said, "I'll take care of it by my grace. Because I love you and because I am merciful, I will make a way for you. And I will be that way." That's the grace of God for salvation. God is a God of holiness, and he hates sin. God is a God of righteousness, so he must condemn sin. And God is a God of justice, so he must punish sin. But God is also a God of grace, so he made a way to save men from their sin and from their punishment as the holy and righteous judge, sin has to be paid for. And we were going to pay for it for all eternity in the lake of fire until God, by His grace, said, I'll pay the payment. I'll bear their sins in my own body. I will become sin so that they can become righteous. How? By faith in my grace. The gospel is called the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20:24. And Paul says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16. So then, God's grace is the undeserved power for an undeserving sinner to be saved. That's grace to save. And I want to take you and show you something else about grace. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. My second point is this. Grace to be. Grace to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And by His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." The second aspect of grace is the grace to be. You see, there is the grace to save, and then there is the grace to be. When a person accepts Christ as their Savior, they are born again into God's family by God's Spirit, and they become a new creature. Amen. A child of God. And as a child of God, now listen, God has plans for you. Yep. He has a person He wants you to be. Now remember, He said you're a new creature. So this person He wants you to be is a new person from who you were. Amen. And as a child of God, His desire is for you and for me to be more like His Son, the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate," here it comes, "to be conformed to the image of His Son." You know, the moment you got saved, God wanted to make you more like Jesus every day. He's taking you through life, and He's taking you through experiences, and He's having you have relationships and meet people and experience things, and He's trying to make you be more like Jesus through all that. He has a plan for your individual, specific life. You are not a mistake. You're not an uh-oh. You're not just a number. You are an individual whom God loves, whom God died for, and who God has a plan for. But you'll never get to be what God wants you to be unless you have His power, His grace upon you, His undeserved favor. Second Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." He's talking about the Word of God. He said, we're looking in this mirror, we're looking in this glass, this window into God and into the things of God. This is the window to Jesus. And He says, as you're beholding Jesus in this window, you're being changed into the same image. Amen. What you see Jesus be in here is what God wants you to be. And He's getting you there little by little. 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Here it comes, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." Amen. So here I am. I'm over here. I'm not like Jesus at all. I'm lost and on my way to hell. I'm a sinner without hope.
The power of the gospel comes to me, and I trust Christ as my Savior. Now I'm born as a child of God, and little by little, I'm being more like Jesus. You understand? He's conforming me, and He's moving me, and He's maturing me, and He's teaching me. And every day I can grow a little bit and grow a little bit until one day, whoosh, I'm over here and I'm like Jesus. I'm not Jesus, but I'm like Jesus. You see, God has the power for you to be. It's called His grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul confesses, he said this, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." This new man, this new creature, this Saul, who was renamed Paul, was a product of the grace of God, the power to be what he could not be in and of himself. Do you get the point? God has somebody he wants you to be, and you can't be that all by yourself. You don't have the power to be that. So God's grace is the power to enable you to be what God wants you to be. By the grace of God, Paul said, "I am what I am." Paul's saying, "I wouldn't be like this if it wasn't for the grace of God. I'd still be Saul. But I'm not Saul anymore. I'm Paul." Why? By the grace of God. Ephesians 3:7 says, "Whereof I, Paul speaking, was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power." You notice how many times the grace of God is associated with power? The grace of God is the gospel of grace. It's the power of God unto salvation. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God," and it was His power working in me. Everything that Paul was a result of the grace of God at work in his life. He was a minister by the grace of God, the undeserved favor. Paul didn't deserve to be a minister, but he was. Why? By the grace of God. God has a man or a woman that He wants you to be. And you cannot be that man nor that woman without the power of the grace of God. The grace to be. You see, in and of ourselves, we are incapable of being anything but a sinner. But by the grace of God, we can be all that God desires us to be for His glory here on this earth. And what does God want you to be? 1 Peter chapter 1. 14. Here's what God wants you to be, dear Christian. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You know what God wants you to be? Holy. You can't be holy. You can try to be holy, but you can't be holy. Except by the grace of God. The power to be what you cannot be. Amen. I believe that many in the ranks of Christendom are ignorant of the grace of God. They use the word grace, and they sing about grace, and they claim grace, and they put grace up on their screen. But they do not know the power of grace. Now listen to me. They confuse power with permission. The grace of God is the power to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Acts 4:33. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all." There's that grace and power. Ephesians 3:7, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power." The grace of God is not given to be Christian headbangers or immoral or indulge in alcohol or smoking or tattooing or partying down. We can do all that by ourselves. We don't need no help to do that stuff. God didn't give us grace to be like that. He gave us grace to be like Jesus. He gave us grace to be what we cannot be. Grace is not permission for us to be less. Grace is the power of God to be more. We can be worldly and carnal all by ourselves. But grace is needed to be given in order for us to be godly and spiritual. The grace of God is the power to be what God wants you to be, not the permission to be what you want God to want you to be. I'm going to say that again. The grace of God is the power to be what God wants you to be, not the permission to be what you want God to want you to be. And then another thing, that not only are they confusing power for permission, they're confusing liberty with license. The grace of God is the power to be free from sin, not part of sin. The grace of God is not given as an excuse to indulge in the lusts of the flesh, but the grace of God is given to flee youthful lusts and abstain, the Bible says, from every appearance of evil. The Bible speaks of some who in the last days will be guilty of turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. That's Jude 1:4. That word lasciviousness means turning the grace of God into license room, or into a license for locker room Christianity. Turning the grace of God. Oh, we're under grace. Oh, we have the grace of God. Oh, we're under grace. They're using the grace of God for a license for locker room Christianity. And then there are others who use their, according to Galatians 5:13, their liberty for an occasion to the flesh. They use the grace of their liberty in Christ as an excuse to indulge in the lusts of the flesh by calling it being under grace. Or some who would be using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, 1 Peter 2:16. Or others who promote an unbiblical liberty, a liberty of license, consent to sin with impunity from judgment. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Yeah, grace. But listen to the rest of the verse. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. God said, my grace is to set you free from the bondage of sin. Don't go back and get entangled in it again and say you're under grace. Second Peter 2:19, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. The Lord Jesus said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God's grace is not permission to be less than you should be, but it is the power to be more than you could be. Amen. I'm afraid that too many, instead of overcoming, are being overcome. They're living their Christian lives in their own power and their own understanding and not by the grace of God, which is the grace to be. Number three, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14, not only is the grace of God grace to save and grace to be, he'll make you what you could never be by his grace. It is the power or the grace to do. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not only does God have a person he wants you to be, but he has something he wants you to do. You. You say, but preacher, I'm nothing. No, you're something. If you're in Christ, you're a child of God. Well, preacher, I don't have anything. Oh, if you have Christ, you have everything. Amen. The Bible says we're not supposed to compare ourselves among ourselves or measure ourselves by ourselves. Why? Because we're all different. And God has a purpose for your life. He has a person He wants you to be. And as you become the person He wants you to be, He has a job He wants you to do. You. A job that He wants you to do. It's not my job, it's your job. It's something He wants you to do because you're uniquely you. It's something I can't do or wouldn't be able to do, but you can. Why? Because you're you. And He saved you. And He's making you into that person so that you can do what He wants you to do. Isn't that awesome? We will encounter many needs as we walk the Christian walk in this world. And just as we cannot be what God wants us to be without His grace, we cannot do what He wants us to do without His grace. It's the power of God to do. Listen to the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:10 again. He said this, "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." You know what Paul's saying? He said, I'm doing. He said, I'm doing for the Lord. I'm doing more than them guys. But it's not me. It's the grace of God to do. It's His undeserved power to enable me to do what I could not do and what I would not do apart from His grace. How are we going to do what God wants us to do when we have physical needs or limitations? 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might be part from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know what He said to Paul? He said, "Listen, Paul, I know you got this problem, but my grace is available and it's sufficient, so that you can do everything I want you to do in spite of the problem you have." It's His power to overcome, isn't it? Our limitations. It's God's power to overcome our weaknesses. How are we going to give as God wants us to give when we have so many financial needs? 2 Corinthians 8:1. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality." How are the Macedonians doing it? How are they giving? They don't got nothing. Grace of God. The grace of God to do. How are we going to minister our gifts when we have so many weaknesses and inadequacies? 1 Peter 4:10, "As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." How are we going to do what God has called us to do with what we've got? 1 Corinthians 3:10. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon." You know what Paul said? He said, I ain't much, I don't have much, but God's grace enabled Paul to do what he could do. What did Paul do? He laid the foundation. And then God's grace will be enough to enable the next guy to do what he's supposed to do, and that's build upon the foundation. Are you following me? You think that you can do the Christian life without the grace of God? You're wrong. Do you think you can minister without the grace of God? You're wrong. Do you think that you can overcome without the grace of God? You are wrong. God's grace is not permission to do less than you should, but the power to do more than you could. Amen. And then my last point. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. It's the grace to go. We come full circle. It's the grace to save. The grace to enable you to be. The grace to enable you to do. And now the exciting part, the grace to go. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The grace of God is the power to go when Jesus comes.
Amen.
I'd like to go and be with the Lord Jesus right now.
Amen.
Just like the Apostle Paul, who said in Philippians 1:23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know what Paul's saying? He said, man, I'd like to get out of here right now. I'd like to just be on my way to heaven. I'd just like to go to heaven right now. But it's more needful for me to stay here. You know what I prayed last night? You know what I pray every night? I say, Lord, I'm going to ask you to take me safely, carry my wife and I safely through the night, either to tomorrow or to heaven, whichever one is your will. But Lord, I'd like to go to heaven. And then I wake up every morning a little disappointed. And I say to the Lord, well, I guess you wanted me here one more day. You know why? It's needful for you. There's somebody in this room need to hear this message this morning. And if I went to heaven last night, you wouldn't have heard it. There's somebody watching or listening needed to hear this message this morning. And if I went to heaven last night, you wouldn't have heard it. I'm not saying it's any big loss for you if I'm not here. But for some reason, God wanted me to stay here. Paul said this, I'd rather go to heaven, but it's needful for me to stay. I'd like to go, but I don't have the power to go. I don't have the power to go right now. I just can't do it. But one of these days, the grace of God is going to give me the power to go. I don't deserve to be saved, but I am. I don't deserve to be what I be, but I be. I don't deserve to do what I do, but I do. I don't deserve to go when Jesus comes, but I will. I don't deserve a mansion, but I'll have one. I don't deserve to spend eternity in heaven, but that's where I'm headed. And it's all by God's amazing grace. The grace of God is the power to save, the power to be, the power to do, and the power to go. When you understand the grace of God, you'll be overwhelmed by it, overcome by it, and overjoyed with it. The grace of God is given to contend, not to capitulate, to stand, not to shift, to run, not to rest, to war, not to waffle, to fight, not to faint, to be victorious, not to be vanquished, and to leave and not be left behind. The grace of God is the power to be saved from sin and not sentenced to an eternal punishment. The grace of God is the power to be all that He wants you to be. The grace of God is the power to do all that He wants you to do. The grace of God is His power working in you. So wherein do you need the grace of God? Everyone in this room right now needs the grace of God. You either need the grace of God to be saved, or you need the grace of God to be, or the grace of God to do. And if you're saved, one of these days, we'll all have the grace of God to go. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I know we covered a lot of territory this morning, but just listen to me for a few more moments and we'll be finished. I want to ask those of you who are saved, do you realize how much you need the grace of God? And perhaps this morning you realize you need more than ever that you need the grace of God to be or the grace of God to do. then are you going to the throne to find grace to help? Or do you just try to muster on in your own strength? Have you thought it was your ability or your intelligence or your savvy or your goodness to get you by? Well, that only work for a while, but it'll come crashing down without the grace of God. Turn to God for His grace. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. That word fail means to be deficient in, to have lack of, to be want of. Christian, don't fail, avail. And maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. You've never been born again. You do not know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, or maybe you're watching or listening. You are completely and utterly undeserving of God's salvation. You have sinned against Him with a high hand. You've broken His commandments. You've abused His goodness. And you have chosen thus far to ignore His call. But today He reaches out to you by His word and by His Spirit. And He's bidding you to come to Him and be saved by His grace through faith. You will or you won't. That's up to you. But be warned. Eternity awaits. Either in heaven or in hell. And the Lord Jesus can make the difference. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Bible says, how should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? My dear friend, now's the time. This is the place for you to get saved. Right where you are in your seat, you can pray and trust Christ as your Savior, and I can help you with it if you want me to. Perhaps there's someone here in this place that would say, preacher, I need to be saved. And I'm ready. I want to pray and ask Jesus to be my Savior right here in my seat. Would you lift your hand? Let me see it. Say, I'm over here, and I know I need salvation. I'm back here. I need salvation. I want to pray, preacher. I want to trust Christ as my Savior. Anybody like that here this morning? Please lift your hand. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. This may be the last opportunity on earth you have to get saved, to have your sins forgiven, and to receive the gift of eternal life. The Bible says, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Tomorrow could be too late. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. One more time. Don't let it go by. Say, preacher, I'm here. Pray with me. I want to be saved. Anybody like that here? Father, we thank you today for grace, undeserved favor. And Father, all of us need grace. We'll never be like Jesus without your grace. We'll never be what you want us to be or do what you want us to do. Oh, God, help us. Help us to come and present our bodies as living sacrifices. Help us, my Father, that we may avail ourselves of the grace of God in those times of need when we're too weak and frail in and of ourselves. Help us now in the invitation. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing our closing hymn. That is number 550, Softly and Tenderly. Maybe this morning as you've been listening, maybe you felt a little tender tug on your heart as a Christian. And God said, you know I want you to be more like Jesus. But you've been resisting. You've been holding back. You've been refusing. Why don't you come this morning and say, Lord, I want to be all that you want me to be. You know what God said of David? He said, here's a man in whom I can fulfill all my will. Is that the desire of your heart? Why don't you come? And if you're here this morning and you're not sure you're going to heaven, why would you leave without being sure when you can be sure? The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You come and see me at the front. We'll have somebody sit with you, and in 5 minutes, you can know for sure you're going to heaven. If I were you, I'd check it out. At least get the facts. We're going to sing. You come as the Lord leads, number 550.